This week on Local Motion, we bring you to an important race for a seat at the Montrose Board of County Commissioners. As is tradition at KVNF, we're bringing you profiles of each candidate. However, this election is unique, as this is not a normal election year for the Montrose Board of County Commissioners. A Board of County Commissioner seat is on the ballot this year because of an effort to recall sitting Commissioner Scott Majarez, a process that required extensive petition signature collection and verification that was ultimately successful, and thus there is a recall question on this ballot. Should Commissioner Scott Majarez be recalled, there's only one candidate to replace him on the ballot, and that candidate is Kirsten Copeland. Today, we bring you profiles of both candidates. I asked each candidate the same questions. We'll start with Kirsten Copeland. Thank you so much for joining us in Studio M this morning to talk with KVNF.
Thank you for having me, Brody.
It's a pleasure. Can you please just tell us a little bit about your professional background? What experience do you have that makes you think you would make an effective county commissioner?
You know, I think most folks are aware that this wasn't something that was on my plan initially, but when approached, and especially being approached by some of the most strong community-focused leaders in the Montrose County area, I really had an opportunity to take a look at my professional background in that context and realize there is a lot of direct overlap and some good things that I can pull from. Going back a little ways, before I moved to the Montrose area, I worked as a dispatch records supervisor at the police department at Colorado State University. That was kind of one of my big first jobs out of school. And so I had an opportunity to be in charge of some pretty important critical response systems and take on scheduling, supervision, and those kind of things. And then my true calling in life was to be a park ranger. So I did get hired at Ridgeway State Park. I moved over here in January of 98. And in 2006, I was able to promote to the park manager position. And so for almost 17 years, I ran Ridgeway State Park. And I think one thing that folks may not be aware of is that a large recreation site or park area is like a small town because we have utilities, we have roads, we have potable and wastewater we're responsible for. And so we work directly with providers like San Miguel Power and things like that. But ultimately, it is our responsibility to make sure that those basic services are provided. And so I learned a lot of things about construction and about utilities and road repair and things like that. I also, of course, was in charge of a budget and had to make sure that I stayed within that. And, you know, one of the things that, again, people may not be aware of is even before the merger, but obviously since, Colorado Parks and Wildlife is a non-tax supported entity. When I first hired on, there was a little bit of tax funding, but that was removed many, many years ago. And so we really were user fee and grant supported. And so we had to operate at a very high efficiency, low cost model. And I'm really proud of what we were able to accomplish, the mission delivery that we did with the budget. And we are one of the most successful. I still highly associate with it because I love that park. But it is one of the most highly successful parks in the state, one of the top five, and the only one on the Western Slope that is at that level.
Wow, that's great. And are you still involved with state park systems or what are you today?
I am. So I am on the board now of the Friends of Ridgeway State Park. And so I still get to be a contributor there. And there's a lot of good mission that the board does. Some of my other things that I've done since retirement, I did a couple of little kind of moves into things and then realized, nope, that isn't where I'm headed. I trained a search dog successfully, and that was a great experience, and I'm glad I did it. Ultimately, we did not continue, and then I also worked at the airport. But my main focus has been that I've been on the Friends of Youth and Nature Board, and I specifically am running a portion called Try Together for Resilient Youth. So we bring all of the kind of groups that deal with the highest risk kids and families in the area, Haven House for the Homeless, the Hilltop, CASA, all of those groups, Boys and Girls Partners, and we provide the resources to get those kids and families outside because we know that that contributes to mental health and physical health. And then I'm also on the Sheriff's Posse, the Montrose County Sheriff's Posse, and then on the Friends of Ridgeway Board. So I've been able to keep some of my background in EMT and public safety, being a former officer. And I'm not currently certified, but some of that experience now allows me to kind of continue with the posse and do those kind of things.
Well, thanks for that. So did you come to the Uncompahgre Valley for the parks job, or what brought you to the Western Slope?
Yeah, I was given some choices about where I could go. And of course, Ridgeway was high on my list. I don't think there's a better park in the state. And it's at the base of the San Juan Mountains. It's surrounded by these fantastic, vibrant communities. It has an agricultural background, as do I. And so I really felt a strong tie to coming to this area, and then ended up meeting my husband and raising my family.
So some deep roots. Yeah. You mentioned some background in ag. I'd like to ask you about that. As a potential county commissioner, one of the main roles that county commissioners do is making land use decisions and approving proposed developments. And when you look back at our county commissioner agendas, there is a lot of approval of subdivisions. And often those are subdivisions of current agricultural land that's being turned into housing. And housing is expensive here. We need housing. And many of us live here because we love this agricultural and outdoor-centered way of life. How do you think about the balance between preserving this valley's agricultural heritage and our need for more affordable housing, or just the general economic development of the county?
That's a really important question, and I think it's one that's on a lot of people's radar. And specifically, I think a lot of the reason that people want to be in this area is because of the environment, not only the public lands, but the agricultural community that's here. And so I do think that continuing to support and have a culture that is very ag-focused is an important part of Montrose County. The fair and 4-H, the FFA chapters and things like that. I think that the realities for farmers are that there's not as many second and third generation folks going into it. So it's not realistic for, you know, them to keep it in ag land, and the price that they can get for selling to a developer is, you know, the way that they can support themselves in retirement. So I think we need to be realistic about the pressures that farmers are in sometimes. And I think if there's other ways that we can support that community in terms of making sure that there's as much economic support for what they're doing, that there's a lot of local purchasing and things like that, but also that maybe we can zone the county in a way that moves development into places where ag land is not as valuable, and as, you know, the soil type is not as conducive to that, but still could be very well developed for more municipal and subdivision purposes. So I think, you know, looking at those kind of supports and zoning opportunities to try and preserve the community that many of us came here for and want to.
Let's jump from there and thinking about especially agricultural, but land use in that way, to what we would like this county to look like for the kids of today. What is your vision for what Montrose County might look like when somebody who is in elementary school now is running to be a county commissioner in 30 years?
That's a great way to look at it. I have read through the strategic plan that was done last year, and I feel like there is a lot of good things in there that they are trying to be forward facing and forward looking in terms of zoning, where the urban rural interfaces are, where some of the more, you know, difficult development choices are going to be around solar and gravel and things like that. So I do think that the strategic plan is a starting point, but I think also what we need to do is we need to be making sure that we're listening and talking to the residents, both the as private citizens and also economies, the different industrial and other economic drivers in the area, to make sure that for the, you know, county commissioners 20 years from now, that we've really made sure to incorporate what is important to the residents as well. And I think that we need to be very intentional in the leadership of how we do that, in terms of not being passive, but being very specific in zoning, in future ordinance and regulation and things like that. And also relationships with adjacent counties and things like that will also make sure that we are maintaining that kind of valley culture that I think is a part of what makes Montrose as you know, successful, and why people love being here. We're not just an isolated.
I'm just curious if I can push you on this just a little bit more to paint the picture of the what you think that looks like this 30 years from now. Is Montrose a significantly bigger place? Is the economy booming? Is it centered around tourism? Do you feel like agriculture is a bigger part of our economy? I'm just kind of curious, like, vision, what do you want this valley to actually look like?
No, that's a good point. I think that it is clear that there are going to be people moving into the area. And even for the people that live here, there is a real housing shortage. So I think the reality is that there is going to be more private home necessity and development. And the way that that is done, again, through the county zoning laws and things like that, is very important where that gets put so that we can keep some of our ag land and our public lands still in that very open and unique setting that we have here. I think that we are going to have population increases, but we don't have to lose the culture of the community with that. And so I also believe that we need to make sure that we are staying ahead of and current on all kinds of technology and economies that are coming down the pike. It could be some of the people moving into this county are working off of the internet remotely, working in social media professions, all those things that we need to make sure that we're providing infrastructure that will support that so that we do not put the county behind the curve of any of those kind of important drivers. At the same time of saying we're still supporting 4-H, FFA, and all of the agricultural culture that I think people really...
I'll admit when I move home here, I would not have been able to do my job were it not for high-speed fiber internet.
Right.
That was essential for my job. You've mentioned public lands a couple of times so far already, and I'm curious about what role you feel the county should play in public land decisions for those lands that are within our county and even surrounding, even outside of Montrose County. There have been some contentious debates recently. Where do you stand? Tell me what you think the county's role is.
My background is in public land management. That's what one of my degrees is in, and I have spent a career surrounded by it. And the kind of community and culture that I grew up in regarding public lands is multiple use, that you are going to have people who are earning some of their actual income on public lands, be it special use permits, be it mining and gas or grazing, any of those things, hunting, all of those things. There's people who actually make their living tied to public lands. And I think that's an important part of it. Along with that, you need those public lands to stay in as good condition, both resource and aesthetically, as possible so that all of those things can continue. So I think that those balances are something that public land managers are already very aware of. But as a local community, we need to be ready to, in addition to having good communication and relationship with those public land managers, so that we're always in the room when things are being brought up and discussed, I think that we also need to be ready to advocate very clearly. We have one of the only lumber mills in the Western U.S., and I think that's a unique economic resource that we want to make sure is represented when public land discussion. So multiple use is in my background. I believe in it strongly, and I believe it can be done wisely, and you need to make sure that you are communicating, have those relationships, but also that you're advocating and taking strong.
The county recently passed a resolution opposing the GORP Act. Can I get you on the record about where you stand on that resolution?
I do have concerns about the GORP Act in terms of some of the access for things like timber and other economics. I think that my tendency would always be to try and have relationships and communication with not only the public land managers, but also with adjacent counties and make sure that we are having some collective discussions and representation, because I think many of the counties surrounding GORP areas have similar pressures and interests. And so if we can be a community in that representation, I think that that could be a very strong stance, and we could represent the interests that we want to make sure are being heard in that planning.
Kirsten Copeland, candidate for the Montrose Board of County Commissioners, thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything else that you'd like to close with? Any points that you haven't got to mention that you'd like our listeners to know about?
I think that just if people aren't, you know, familiar with me personally, just a little bit, I have an agriculture background. My parents are both from farms in Kansas and then moved to the U.S. or to Colorado where I was born. And then my husband and I have been around, you know, public safety our whole lives and have four adult kids. And we are we have one in college, one in the Marines and two in the workforce. So I think we're very tied into the community. And so we just while I wasn't seeking this, it is very important to me that community service is a part of what I am able to provide here.
Wonderful. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You're listening to Local Motion, KBNF's weekly public affairs show. Today, we're profiling the two candidates vying for a seat on the Montrose Board of County Commissioners. You can listen to these full interviews by looking for Local Motion under the news tab at kbnf.org. We now continue with a profile of Commissioner Scott Majares. Hey, would you please tell us a little bit about your professional background? What experience do you have that you think makes you really an effective commissioner today?
I grew up in Florida and went to the University of South Florida in Tampa, graduated with a marketing degree, and I worked for Anheuser-Busch for a very short time, but after that I went into the stock brokerage business, and I learned a lot about businesses, how they run, and what I found out that is you learn more from how a business fails than when a business succeeds. You can actually see the failure. It's documented. So I had a career in investment banking. And then in 1999, my wife and I decided we wanted to move to Hawaii. I had taken a trip out to California for an investment banking conference and looked out over the Pacific and opened up the paper, and they offered a trip back in the day for $590. And, you know, you could go for 4 days and five nights and or 5 nights and 4 days, and everything was paid, and we went. And when we went there, we fell in love. Once in Hawaii, I started a business. I started investigating what would be a successful business in Hawaii. Like California and even Colorado, it's not as business friendly as some other states. So it was difficult. Prices for office space was expensive. The talent pool was limited. So I looked for technology, how I could start a company using technology, and I wouldn't have to deal with a lot of that stuff. So I settled on buying a big laser and buying a big printer, and I started making vintage wooden postcards.
Oh, cool.
And I sold them all over the state of Hawaii, and that lasted for about 20 years. In 2019, our daughter, Miley, who was born and raised in Hawaii, decided she wanted to go to the University of Colorado. And it's a long way away, and she was our baby. On top of that, my parents were getting older. My wife had already lost her parents, and we were, you know, 5,000 miles away, you know, quite a ways away. And it's emotionally draining on you when you can't be there for your parents when they're sick. So we decided we wanted to move to Colorado. And being that we were in Hawaii in a small area, we wanted a small town to live in. So we moved to the Western Slope. So that's how we landed here. Most recently, my wife and I started a business on Main Street called Wild Horse Wine and Whiskey. We did it all ourselves. We purchased the Lathrop Hardware Building, which is the third oldest building in town. And we took 18 months to renovate it, and we opened up a whiskey bar. And so being from Hawaii, I took that buy local attitude, and I brought it over to the whiskey bar. So we only sell Colorado whiskeys, and we have a great selection. So we're real proud of that. We've been doing that for about 5 years.
Wow.
And so that was my business career. And when I decided to run for office, I wanted to bring that experience, how to balance budgets, how to spend money, how to be efficient. Every government needs more of that. That's kind of what I think qualifies me from a business standpoint. I'm not a politician, not even close.
I'd like to talk a little bit about your vision for Montrose County. Let's just imagine for a moment, what county do you envision? What would you like to see this valley in Montrose County look like? What do you hope to hand off to the next generation for Montrose County?
Oh, thank you for asking that. I think about that often. You know, it starts with our kids. Our future is our children. And right now we have some elections coming due for, you know, our Board of Commissioners, which I think is very important. I studied up on what our academic proficiencies are here in Montrose County. And we're pretty low. Our proficiencies range anywhere from 30 to 40% in math, in literature, and in science. That puts our children at a very... Oh, thank you for asking that. I think about that often. You know, it starts with our kids. Our future is our children. And right now we have some elections coming due for, you know, our Board of Commissioners, which I think is very important. I studied up on what our academic proficiencies are here in Montrose County. And we're pretty low. Our proficiencies range anywhere from 30 to 40% in math, in literature, and in science. That puts our children at a very tremendous disadvantage in a very competitive world. So my vision would be to have academic excellence in Montrose County, literally prepare our children to compete on a global market. How do we do that? We refocus on reading, writing, and arithmetic. Get out of the political thing and the political ideologies and focus on teaching our kids how to be successful in the world so they can afford to buy a house, pay their bills, and care for their family. So in 20 or 30 years, I hope we get there. How do we get there? Well, first we start with education, and then after education, we want to try to take advantage of what Montrose has to offer. We have one of the best airports in the state. It's a tremendous economic driver for us. But where we're falling short is we have been unable to attract clean industry to Colorado, to Montrose, rather. We have a lot of service-oriented businesses, and we have a government industry. But what we really need is we need businesses that pay people $150,000, $200,000 a year and bring that level of income up. We need to import money into Montrose and not trade dollars amongst each other. Every time we trade a dollar, somebody else gets a piece of it. And we all wind up losing in the end. So my goal would be to, even as commissioner now, is I am actively searching for properties that we can develop to bring industry in. We have Telluride, who it's a bunch of billionaires, most of them own companies. Wouldn't it be nice? They land in the airport and they say, you know what? I think I'd like to locate one of my businesses here. I'd like to bring employees in here and raise the standard of living here. And I know that works because on Kauai, where we lived, Mark Zuckerberg moved to Kauai. Once he bought his property, all his lieutenants, all his managers, they all wanted to be there too, and they were making great money. So when you can start with a core, that core will grow. The only caution is you want to be careful who you decide you want your core to be. So we want to have a clean business, one that has great potential, and that one that can expand to provide jobs for the graduates that we have coming up. And we want to prepare those graduates to be qualified to work in those positions.
What do you mean when you say clean?
Clean would be something that, not smokestacks, not industry, heavy industry.
Sure.
Clean would be internet businesses, perhaps even AI businesses if we have the power for it.
Sure.
It would be things that we could sell a product or service worldwide.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. You know, a lot of people live here and love living here and moved here because of the county's agricultural way of life, an outdoor-centered way of life. And, you know, one of your primary responsibilities on the Board of County Commissioners is making, you know, difficult land use decision. And there's this tough balance. You know, we are regularly approving subdivision of formerly agricultural land, or we're converting rapidly agricultural lands into more housing. And housing is too expensive. It's very difficult for anyone starting off to be able to afford a home. So we need more housing. Can you tell me a little bit about how you think of this balance of preserving our county's agricultural heritage and you know, beautiful vistas, some of the reasons that people love to live here, with the need for economic development and more affordable housing?
It's a great question, and I think about that often. Did you know that the average age in the United States of a farmer is 65 years old? It seems like it's an industry that is dying, but yet we still have to eat. And we still need our ranchers. We still need our agricultural lands. And so you're right, it is a tremendous balance. And so because we have some of the best agricultural lands, I think, in the state, I'm told, in the Chavineau Valley and others, we need to protect those. I'm just one commissioner, but I really would like to see us have certain lands that are dedicated as prime agricultural lands. Now, some of our landowners that have big parcels, they might feel locked up and locked in about it. That's a problem we have to solve, because when it comes to land use and when it comes to private property rights and so forth, you know, people need to have options. And in a lot of cases, our farmers, their land is their retirement plan. Right. And they need that for emergencies, to care for their families and so forth. So it's this balance that this balancing act we have to go through. I will say that when people talk about affordable housing, I say there's no such thing as affordable housing. It's subsidized housing, because we have to subsidize those buildings. And a lot of cases, it's very justified. You know, people who are, you know, need a hand up rather than a hand out, single mothers, people with disabilities. We need to really, we have a responsibility to take care of those people. But when we have people that maybe have the capabilities to do it, we have to put them second or third in line. We just have to. When I was younger, my wife and I struggled. We had a child, and I was working as a commission stockbroker, and I started at zero every day. What a great motivator, okay? And I remember a story. I used to read a lot of sales books, and one of the stories I read that stuck with me, it said, you can take the most unmotivated person, lazy, lackadaisical person in the world, put them in a rowboat, paddle them out to the middle of the lake, throw them overboard and push their head underwater, and you will all of a sudden see the most enthusiastic, motivated person you ever seen in your life. And that's because they found something that they want and need. So what we have to do is we have to care for the people who need it the most first, without hurting our retired people and people that are already struggling to make their families work, and then provide a pathway for people who just need a little bit of help and move up with it. And again, the key to that is bringing high-paying jobs in. We bring high-paying jobs in. That takes the burden off, because all of a sudden, the other businesses that benefit from those high-paying jobs, those people that make that income, are out there spending money. There's more money circulating around because we're importing money into Montrose County.
There's so much to unpack there. I wish we had more time, Scott. But with the last couple minutes we have left, I want to talk about public lands. A lot of people love living here, and I believe that a lot of people who may invest here in the future and move here or decide to site their business here love living here because there's incredible access to some of our state's most pristine and amazing public lands. What do you see as the county's role in public lands decisions that are within the county and even surrounding counties?
Again, great question. You know, people ask me, you moved from Hawaii? Why did you move from Hawaii? It's so beautiful there. I'm like, it's beautiful here. And the people here are wonderful. It's people that make your community. So not only do we have a beautiful surroundings around us, but we have beautiful people. And I really appreciate that. But when it comes to public lands, I got involved about a year and a half ago in the Save the Dolores program, where we had the federal government wanted to take hundreds of thousands of acres and dedicate them towards a national monument.
Yeah, 80,000 acres.
Yeah. And I was opposed to that because it was done by presidential decree through the Antiquities Act, which doesn't really fit in. It's been abused over the years. And together with fellow Commissioner Sean Pond, we were successful in launching an effort, and we passed a resolution that we didn't want to be party to that. And they tried to move it from a national monument over to a national conservation area. We were opposed to that too. We're willing to talk, but we're starting at no. And so as a result of that, there was an energy company out of Utah that's made the announcement that they're moving some operations back into the West End. It's going to provide high-paying jobs. It's going to provide a better standard of living, more money importing into Montrose County. So it really worked out good, and I hope it continues to do so.
I'm not familiar with that company of the but what you're implying is you feel like that wouldn't have happened had a monument been moved forward.
Well, yeah, I mean, think about it. If you're a mining company, you spend hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of dollars doing development. Exploration, development, there's a lot of money involved. The payoff's pretty big if you hit, but it's a very risky business. If you knew you had the possibility that this could be this land that you're currently that was currently, you know, used for mining and exploration, it could be shut off. You could have the rug pulled out. Why would you bother? So I think that took away a barrier that made, you know, investors feel comfortable that this was something worth pursuing.
Thanks for listening to Local Motion on KBNF. That's all we have time for today. You can hear this whole episode by looking for Local Motion under the News tab at kbnf.org.